Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, doing a rundown of the what I would consider the good backup situations or the backup situations that we want to be targeting in Superflex and 2QB leagues. And there's basically about 11 of them. And so I sort of broke them up into what I would consider priority ones and then good situations that aren't as elite of a priority. So I would still be targeting these guys, but they're basically the second tier of the targets, if that makes sense. So the good backups, the elite tier of the backups, Gardner Minshew would be the number one. I do question how much sense it makes to have him on the Jacksonville team. I don't know if just from a organizational structure standpoint, you want the cult-like hero being the backup to the new franchise guy, that might be a headache. That might be anytime Lawrence throws an interception, you're getting, Minshew cheers. I'm not sure how much you want to do that with a new franchise quarterback. So he's one that I could potentially see being traded for traded for a day three pick, something like that, to a team that has a need at backup quarterback. And maybe that has some questions with their starter, for example. That would be something that I would potentially, be thinking about. Whether that's a situation like Pittsburgh could make some sense there. Baltimore maybe. Protect some floor, I think, with Baltimore. Washington could be a situation that could be some interest in. How about that quarterback room? Those are some of the situations that I could potentially see, teams with some contending aspirations that want to see, a higher floor of quarterback. I would just be on the watch for that. If he's back there, I do think it's a good situation for him. I do think he's a good quarterback in a good, not great sense, that he's probably a little bit better than some of his stats have suggested so far as well. So that's sort of my initial take on Minshew. I think he's one of the higher priority ones of the backups because we know that he can, quote, play, right? And I think that's a really... what you really want to target in this range is guys that you think can play. Case Keenum's number two. Again, really like the offensive system. I could be persuaded that maybe a couple of these guys over Minshew, for example, I could be persuaded on them. This is more of a tier than it is a specific rankings. And so Keenum be number two. Again, good offensive system, knows the system, was in it in Minnesota with Stefanski. And it's a good set of weapons. I mean, and he can play, right? Again, it's not super high level. He's not going to change a franchise, but if was given 10 starts, could he produce quarterback two type production? Yeah. Could he produce high end quarterback two type production? I think he could. So he's one that I would have a good degree of confidence in starting, in a two quarterback setting or a super flex setting, in the event that Mayfield gets injured. So definitely him up there collecting any rogue shares. Marcus Mariota is three. I'd probably have him. I'll put Trubisky above him in terms of the order. I'd have Trubisky over him at three, Mariota right behind him at four. They're close. I think all these guys are pretty close. I think with Trubisky, it's a good offensive system. I think they can get the things out of him that he does well, I think that they could do with him. And I sort of trust that staff to make some sense out of him and clear up some of this. He does have things that he does well. I didn't think Chicago maximized some of the stuff that he did well. And as a result, we sort of saw what happened. So I think a fresh start for him, it's a good set of weapons, and you have one of the elite offensive coordinators in all of football. I think that's a scenario. Josh Allen has put himself at risk. You know, he rushes the ball a lot, and he's put himself at risk. He has missed games. I think Trubisky is an interesting guy because I think there's potential opportunity given his quarterback's nature of play. I'm not a big believer in injury prone, but I am a believer in that some guys put themselves at risk more often. Yeah, you think of RG3, he couldn't slide. Wentz is a guy who has put himself at risk. He's got an injury prone moniker. I actually just think he plays with a little bit of recklessness, and not that he's fragile framed, or that his ligaments aren't sound, or they're in some way prone to injury. Just that he puts himself in scenarios where he's a little bit more apt to take kind of that bad shot, and so Allen has some of that to him. It has gotten better, but he has some of that to him. And I think Trubisky is a capable stand-in. Is it AFC championship caliber stand-in? Probably not. But is it keep the boat afloat, can come in and play usable starter games? Yeah, I think he can do that. So he would be number three. Mariota's kind of in a similar sense. I think Mariota has a lesser ceiling. I think Trubisky's range of outcomes is a little bit wider than Mariota's. I think we kind of know what Mariota is at this point in his career. It's not the same set of weapons. I think Mariota's a little bit narrower range of outcomes than Trubisky could be. Could Trubisky produce could he produce quarterback one, two, that type of fringe production? I think he could in a best case scenario. With Mariota, I think it's probably a lesser than that. But I wouldn't have, again, this is more of a tier type system. I wouldn't have a problem going Mariota. The more the point of this is, I think you need to make sure that these shares are out, are collected. The last one in terms of the higher end priority one, and this one because of the rushing ability, is Jacoby Brissett. And he's got the ability to 6, 7, 8 touchdowns in a Tua injury shortened season, something like that. I think Brissett could do that. I think he's probably of the guys on this list, he might be the worst passer. But I do think he's got the rushing upside that in a week where Tua is out, I think that he could potentially be a guy that, 2.5 touchdowns, taking the over on that is, I think, something that we could see. So that would be for him. I think he's the fifth of this priority list for me, but I do think that he is a capable, and he's up above the rest of the guys in the tier below, just because I think he's got that rushing upside. The next tier that I would have, so this is again, still the good backups, but not as high of priority of the backups. The first would be Geno Smith with Seattle. Russell Wilson gets sacked a lot. That's Russell Wilson's fault largely. Russell Wilson's going to be back there. I'm almost 100% sure of that at this point. And Geno Smith is his backup. You have a good set of weapons. It's good. It is a backup. Is it a long-term starter? No, not really. And we've sort of seen him. Some of that bad circumstance, probably, yeah. But again, 6.8 yards per attempt on his career. Some of the adjusted stuff is where he gets in trouble, and you sort of start adjusting it for turnovers and that sort of stuff. It looks a lot worse. Career 36 interceptions to 29 passing touchdowns. So again, that's much more of like 1990s quarterback play than it is 2020. But yeah, I do think that there's some potential there with the system, and particularly the weapons around him. That's stuff that I think could be interesting. He's a threat, 3-4 rushes a game on average in his career. he has sort of that ability in there as well. 3.6 on average per game that he's played in his career. And that's including some like mop-up duty late in his career. Back in his first two seasons, for example, he rushed, he did rush 72 times in his rookie season, 59 times in his second season. So he's not a huge rushing threat, but I do think he offers some of that ability. It's a level down from the guys above him. Chad Henne, backup in Kansas City, good, not great. We sort of know who he is in that system with Andy Reid. We saw him last year. We sort of know in that system that they can make it work. There's a lot of good weapons there, obviously, with Hill and with Kelsey. You got Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I think you feel confident in that. He's one that could potentially be out there in leagues that I would be looking at for sure. Chase Daniel is the backup with the Chargers. Again, he's one that he's what the amount of money that he's made per start in his career is like, or per snap in his career is just extraordinary. But a competent backup, kind of in the developmental sense of trying to help Herbert along, but can play if needed. I think that's a decent set of weapons as well. And so I think that one's one that you could say, listen, if he's out there, these are the types of guys you should be figuring out, optimizing the back end of your roster spot. He's one that can play and could start for you in a pinch. AJ McCarron, going to be the backup to Matt Ryan in Atlanta. He was a late signing. So that's, I think, of note that they signed him during the draft. So I don't know if they had their eyes on someone falling or something like that. But he's one that I think, in the event that Matt Ryan's hurt, he could come in. It's a decent set of weapons. It's a good offensive coach. I think can support some fantasy viability. Colt McCoy, next on the list. Arizona Cardinals, again, good set of weapons. Fantasy conducive system. So he's basically at this point, he is a backup. There's not a ton of longevity in any of these guys in terms of like, hey, these guys got a potential starter down the line. Probably not. But McCoy, 30 touchdowns, 28 interceptions in his career. He's basically been essentially, he was a starter the first two seasons in Cleveland, and then has basically bounced around in stops with San Fran, with Washington, and now with the Giants last year. 8-22 in his career. That's probably more to his situation than necessarily his play. But yeah, 6.5 yards per attempt. So you're sort of seeing what we're dealing with here. Not great quarterback play, but I think competent enough to come in and potentially offer some viability in season if there is an injury to one Kyler Murray. The last one on the list is Joe Flacco. So he's been disappointing, I think, when we've seen him. And I don't know if it's some of the body language shaming or whatnot that goes on with him. He hasn't had a – this is pretty amazing considering where he came from. He hasn't had a winning season since 2017. So he started 9 games in 2018. He was 4-5. 8 games in 2019 with Denver. He was 2-6. He started 4 games last year with the Jets, 0-4. When you go back, basically he was 9-7 in 2017. When you go back before that, his last winning season was 2014 when he was 10-6. When you think about sort of how he started his career, had the Super Bowl ring, all that stuff, 6.7 yards per attempt in his career, 6.4 AYA. So that's a little bit better differential there than some of the other guys that we were talking about. Again, he doesn't offer any of the rushing stuff. He doesn't really offer, I think, high-end stuff. and you could sort of put him in more of the questionable, like this is kind of falling off the back tier. I do think he's got pedigree. He's sort of been a starter. We kind of know who he is. He's not going to just completely fall on his face. That's kind of what you're looking for in a backup, and it presents you some opportunity. I think the other guys in this range, we know less about them, but we kind of know that they can also play. I think he kind of fits in that group more than he does some of the lesser situations that we'll talk about here going forward. So, if it's a situation between him and like a one injury away guy, probably going the one injury away guy at running back. But that's kind of the range. This is kind of the hey, you can debate it range. In terms of some of those other guys, I think you want to prioritize the top five guys, Minshew, Keenum, Mariota, Trubisky, and Brissett. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.